Welcome to the rest of the news. My name is Frank Simon, and our special guest today is Martin Moyer. And Martin has done an outstanding job of making a DVD about Islam in our public schools here in America. Is that right, Martin?
That's right, Doctor.
Okay, I appreciate you coming on and telling us a little bit more about this. I was watching your video again this morning. One of the questions you mentioned on the video is, when does teaching religious tenets turn into indoctrination? Would you like to comment on that?
Indoctrination pretty much is when you present one side of a viewpoint without presenting the opposing viewpoint. So these Islamic indoctrination programs that are occurring in the public schools are doing just that. They are teaching children how to become Muslim, how to become good Muslims, how to act as Muslims without any opposing views from other religions or presenting the views of other religions and how they view their particular God or Lord and Savior.
They seem to say, well, there's only one God and his name is Allah. Isn't that part of their program?
Well, sure. And in some of the school lesson plans, they have the children saying exactly that there is but one true God and his name is Allah. And so you could imagine what would happen in the public schools if teachers were telling students that, you know, there is only one plan of salvation and it's through our Lord without giving any opposing views. I mean, it's more like Sunday school class, what's going on in some of these study programs that children are being required to take in the public schools. It also presents another interesting issue that these programs actually are forcing teachers to become Islamic scholars. Inside of our DVD, we examine a program that's funded by the Department of Education that's called Access Islam. In some of the lesson plans in that study, children are asked to examine Islamic scripture. They are also asked to explain what that scripture means, and they are also asked to explain how they can use that scripture in their everyday life. Now, is this something any teacher is qualified to do? So if a teacher downloads that program from a website that's being offered by the Public Broadcasting Service and introduces that to her school, who's to say that that teacher has the correct interpretation of that Islamic scripture to grade the student on how they answered that? Or how's a teacher going to grade a student on explaining how they use that Quranic verse in their everyday life? So basically, it's forcing teachers to become Islamic scholars, and they're not qualified to do that. You can, it's just like there's many different Christian denominations out there who have opposing views on how to interpret scripture. There is no single viewpoint also in the world of Islam on how to interpret a verse. So I think it's wholly unrealistic to have students give a definition of an Islamic verse and then ask them to explain how they use that verse in their everyday life. And beyond that, of course, Doctor, is what if you're a Christian student and you don't want to use that Islamic verse in your everyday life? How are you ever going to answer that question?
Right. It seems that, did you say National Public Radio had some of this on it too?
The Public Broadcasting Service has it listed on the PBS Learning Media. PBS Learning Media is a rather large website. People can Google it, PBS Learning Media, and when they get to the search menu, just type in Access Islam. And when they do that, they'll start getting the various studies that teachers can download for instruction in their particular classes. And there's like 14 different Islamic study modules that teachers can use in the classroom to, I say, indoctrinate children into the world of Islam and how to become a Muslim. For instance, children are expected to learn the five pillars of Islam, but not just that, they're asked to make a poster of the five pillars of Islam that can be displayed in the classroom. When you learn the five pillars of Islam, you're basically learning how to become a Muslim. Now, when you take those five pillars and put them on a poster board and then you put it on the wall of the school, you are now evangelizing for Islam. You're telling other students, here's how to become a Muslim. And not just a Muslim, but how to walk as a good Muslim. So it's not only just trying to get our children converted into Islam, it's trying to get them to become evangelists for Islam as well.
I noticed that on the DVD, and I'll just mention this, if it's all right with you, we'll send anybody that wants one of these videos, we'll send them a copy for free. Try to get the word out of what's going on in our public schools and what our tax money is being used for. And the number to call is 895-5025, 895-5025. Martin, I noticed that in this same video, there was one section where you were talking to a group of people, talking to them about what these movies were all about. Who was the audience of that that you were talking to?
I want to assume that you probably got the DVD where we held an event near Washington, D.C.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. And in that event, we invited people who were concerned about this issue.
Yeah.
We invited state lawmakers to the event. We had some of them attend. We invited the media out to attend it. So we packed out the room. So there was probably about 100 attendees who listened to my introduction, and then they watched our documentary called Islam in the Schools, A Quick Look, in which it gives lots of examples of not just the Department of Education's program called Access Islam, but gives examples of other types of curricula that teachers are using in the public schools that basically are requiring children to accept the Islamic faith. Let me just read to you some of the instructions that are given to teachers. If they download Access Islam and they use it in school, now keep in mind, this program is available to every school in the entire country. It's easy enough to download and use it in your school. The teacher is asked to do this. Have their children focus on learning about the core duties of Muslims. So they have to learn what the duties of Muslims are. Have students read about what it means to proclaim faith or belief as a Muslim. Have students individually silently read the Shahada. The Shahada is what Muslims say in order to become a Muslim. Students have to learn what is the meaning of the Declaration of Faith and understand the importance of the Quran in daily worship. So doesn't this, Doctor, sound more like a Sunday school class than a
Absolutely.
Program for the public schools?
I remember one thing you said. You were defining indoctrination, and you said indoctrination is presenting opinions as facts without any opposing view. That's a very simple definition, and that's really what they're doing, isn't it?
Absolutely. Now, I also said in my introductory speech at this event that if schools want to have a dedicated class that is elective for students to attend that will examine the beliefs of the world's major religions, I'm fine with that. So they can say, here's what Islam believes, here's what Christianity believes, here's what Hinduism believes, that's fine. These programs are being taught in history classes, sociology classes, English classes, in which there is no alternative viewpoint available to dispute the claims that's being made by this material or by the teachers presenting it.
At one point, you said that they're taught that Islam is the true faith.
There's plenty of examples of that. But let me tell your listeners here some of the other things that are quizzed about in this classroom material. So they have to answer these questions. What do Muslim prayers sound like? What do Muslim prayer movements look like? What are some of the things Muslims say during prayer? Now, how is this advancing education in the public schools when you have to describe
right.
what a Muslim prayer sounds like? And besides that, doctor, who cares what a Muslim prayer sounds like? How do you grade a student on that? What's a teacher going to do when you give an answer about what are some of the things Muslims say during their prayer? I'm sure there are many wrong answers and many correct answers, and again, it's forcing the teacher to become some sort of Islamic scholar. Give some other examples here. Now, this what I'm about to tell you is not directly from the Access Islam program that's funded by the Department of Education, but it comes from a multiple other type of teaching material that teachers are using in the public schools with their students. So in Union, North Carolina, students had to complete a classroom assignment that declared most Muslims have a stronger faith than the average Christian. Well, who's to say that, right?
That's
Would
crazy.
Would you say that Muslims have a stronger faith than you, doctor?
No.
No. Would you agree that most Muslims have a stronger faith than the average Christian?
No.
By the way, who took the survey to get that answer?
Right.
So in La Plata, Maryland, students were told there is no God but Allah, presented as a fact. In Manhattan Beach, California, students were told all people must submit to Allah.
The thing that bothers me the most about this is I have to pay for it, okay? With my taxes, I'm paying for the building, I'm paying the teacher's salaries, I'm paying for the books, and I'm paying for everything to indoctrinate my children into Islam, which I would say is a religion of hate. Because
yeah, and not only should you be upset you have to pay for it, you should also be upset that it is illegal for the Department of Education to have funded this program to begin with.
Right.
Most people don't understand this, but the Department of Education is not allowed legally to develop classroom material at all. And that's that. If the law is there to keep the United States from having a unified Department of Education education program that supersedes what the states want to teach. So by law, the Department of Education is not allowed to develop this type of material, yet they did it. So you should not only should be upset that your tax dollars were used, but they committed a criminal act and nothing's
right.
happening about it.
When did they develop these excess Islam movies and things?
The development took a period of years, but it started, the grant was given in 2005. And the grant was given to, under the purpose of helping students with foreign languages. So the grant applicant, which was Corporation Broadcasting Service, asked for the money. The grant application was supposed to be to help students with foreign languages. So now there's deception involved here. So you had the grant, the person receiving the money, lying about what they were going to do with the money, and then getting the money from the Department of Education, which is not allowed to fund this type of material, and then using your tax dollars in an illegal way.
Yeah. So this started, who was president back in 2005?
President George Bush.
George Bush.
Yes. Now, this was a reaction, I'm assuming. This happened so long ago, and it was only recently made public by our organization this past year. But the argument was is that President Bush and the federal government wanted to help children better understand Islam after the attack on the World Trade Centers, and a bunch of money went out to teach Mideast study programs and help children understand the world of Islam. And of course, that just opens the door for a bunch of crazy people then coming in and asking for money to develop such type of material. And I think that's what happened here. I don't think President Bush and his administration were behind developing this material. But hey, the material is developed. It has 14 modules to it. It's available to every public school now. So regardless of the perhaps benevolent reasons that the Bush administration had in developing a funding program or access to federal money to develop these programs, it doesn't matter. We know what we got. And what we got is not looking good, and it's dangerous to our kids. I think it's dangerous to the Christian faith of these youngsters. This program is designed for grades 5 through 12. So it's designed to get them when they're very young and impressionable. For the most part, their parents do not even know it's being taught in the public schools.
Yeah, that's why I think it's really important for as many people as could to go ahead and call us right now and get this DVD. We'll send it to them for free. The number to call is 895-5025, and the area code is 502. So give us a call right now. There may just be an answering machine, but you can leave your name, phone number, and address. We'll get this out to you for free because Martin Moyer and Christian Action Network is doing our country a huge service by knowing that this is happening and spreading it out. And another thing you said I thought was really important is there are no Christian programs in the public schools.
That's the other interesting thing about this program. We fired off a letter to the Department of Education asking for details about why they funded this program, and they sent us a letter back. The letter said that by law, they are not allowed to fund a one-sided religious studies program. So even in the letter, they admit that what they funded was incorrect. Now, on the other hand, this program was developed under the George Bush administration, and it was further developed when Obama was president. And when we found out about it, it was President Trump and his team at the Department of Education now, and no longer the other individuals there. So disclosing to us that they're not allowed to fund a one-sided religious program was another indication that they know that what they did and how that money was used was wrong. We can pound our fists on the table and say this money should be given back, and we are, and reaching out to Attorney General Sessions to try to get the money back, but that won't solve it. The program's out there now, and it's being placed on the PBS Learning Media website with the official seal of the Department of Education, and the damage is done. And I think the only thing that will solve this problem is the federal court taking a look at this program and ruling that it is unconstitutional to introduce this into the public schools.
Well, now, are you doing that?
We have agreed to do that, but the legal process is not as simple as what we might think it is. So Christian Action Network by itself does not have standing sue the Department of Education for this program. So we have to find a student who not only was part of this program, but who objected to the program, and parents who are willing to go to court. So we don't have standing to sue. We have to wait until we find a plaintiff, basically being a parent who had a child go to this program, who is upset about it, and wants to sue the federal government over it.
I can qualify for some of those. Martin, if some of our listeners wanted to help you stop this indoctrination, Islam indoctrination in the nation, the whole nation, I saw the map that you put in there, they're all over the place. How could they get in touch with you to make a donation to try to stop this unconstitutional program?
Well, they can go to our website and make a donation there, and that's at ChristianAction.org, ChristianAction.org. And the reason why we called our documentary, Islam in the Schools, a quick look is because even though it's 22 minutes long, it's still just a quick look at what's going on in the public schools. And we want to be able to complete this documentary, perhaps get it up on Netflix, get it up on some of the other available channels that we can reach out to. But first, we think we need to finish the film and continue to keep it updated. So if they call your phone number, they're going to get a free copy of what we got so far.
Yeah.
And I think when they take a look at it, they'll probably look at it and say, it would be good if our organization can actually finish this film.
Let's see. Tell me that website again, Christian.
ChristianAction.org.
Oh, ChristianAction.org. Okay. ChristianAction.org. Yeah, that's a very good cause. I believe you had a petition to try to get the Department of Education to stop doing this unconstitutional program. Is that right?
We've already collected over 30,000 petition signers.
30,000?
Yes.
Wow.
So we're anxious to keep the battle going and keep those petitions coming in. When people go to that website, they'll see a link right up front. You can't miss it, to click on and sign our petition.
Oh, well, that's good. I think everyone can sign a petition like that. It seems to me that it's definitely unconstitutional. We've got Islam's blowing up people in Florida, Orlando, and out in California and New York. And to me, it seems like they're recruiting more people to blow us up.
Yeah, and that's the other biased nature of the curriculum that is being taught in the schools. It will tell you how to become a Muslim and what you need to do to remain faithful to the religion and how to promote the religion, but it never tells you the dirty laundry going on in that religion. I don't know how people really live with themselves anymore, Doctor. It's like truth doesn't matter.
People don't believe everything they hear. They've got to hear it over and over and over again before I think it sinks in, but It's amazing. Now, we had a speaker here in Louisville named Federer. Do you know him?
Bruce Federer?
No, it's not Bruce, is it? William Federer.
Okay.
William Federer. He was here this past Sunday, and he gave an outstanding presentation about, in general, how things are. If we don't stand up and sign petitions and give money to people who are fighting for truth, then we're actually going to be taken over. William Federer was here about 5 years ago, and he gave a two-hour lecture on Islam. And we'd be glad to send any of our listeners that video, too. Islam started, I guess, around 600 years after Christ. For the whole time, 150 or 2,000 years, they have been trying to take over the world the whole time. Is that right?
Oh, absolutely. And they are committed. Sometimes I get embarrassed at the difference between Muslims and their commitment to their religion and Christians and our commitment to our religion. The Islamic world is committed to creating a caliphate that the entire world will have to live under.
Yeah.
They don't get distracted with video games, and I'm not saying don't do these things, or baseball games, or many of the recreational activities that TV, whatever, that we all get distracted with. And when you are facing an enemy who is determined to, if they don't kill you, at least rule over you, and they are just myopically focused on that, they have the upper hand, Doctor. They just really
Absolutely.
Do have the upper hand. And for people to dismiss them as if just a ragtag bunch of losers with some big guns and they'll never get accomplished what they're going after, I think they're going to be surprised. Unfortunately, we did a documentary, and people can watch that on our website as well, called Europe's Last Stand, America's Final Warning. It took us 4 years to produce this documentary because we had to travel to Europe a dozen times and visit every country in Europe to tell the story of how Islam is and has been conquering Western Europe. It's absolutely amazing. Once you watch the documentary, I can't really express it in just a 30-second monologue here, but it is absolutely amazing the progress that they have made in conquering those countries and their plan of how to conquer it. They actually have a plan of how to do it, not just blow things up. There's much more to their plan of how to achieve that goal than what we're seeing on our TV, and that is running people over with a big truck.
Yeah.
I'm fearful that Western Europe will eventually be lost to Islam.
I started learning about this a few years ago, and I did some Google searches, and they say what's going on in Europe is terrible. What's going on? And I have this, it's about 25-page report of articles that I pulled off the internet, and I'd like to send that to our audience too if they're interested. But let me just give that phone number again. This is
Martin Moyer.
Martin Moyer, yeah. He's got a video that is all about using Islam in our public schools. This video right here. We'll send that to you. We'll also send the two-hour video of the history of Islam by Federer, and also this list of articles that we've put out of what the Muslims are doing in Europe. It's all free. You just call the number. It's area code 502-895-5025, and we'll get it out to you right away. Okay, Martin, I want to have to run out of time, but we really appreciate your good work. ChristianAction.org is where you can get more information. God bless you, and thanks for tuning in.
Thank you, Doctor. Thanks for inviting me on your show. I appreciate it.
Thanks.
All right, bye-bye.
Hi, I'm Dr. Frank Simon. I'm an allergist and family doctor, board certified in both allergy and internal medicine. I specialize in allergy, headaches, sinus, hives, cough, asthma, hypertension, and diabetes. We're located at 1404 Browns Lane near Norton Suburban Hospital. Our phone number is 895-5088. We can see you tomorrow.
Pastor Dave is going to close in prayer, but
first I have an apology because Angela would like to make an introduction of someone very special.
Well, behind every good man is a good woman, and beside every good woman is a great man. And I just want to introduce you guys to my husband for life, Mr. Parnell Minter. Parnell and I have been together since I was 15 and he was 17. He was my high school sweetheart. We've been married for 32 years and we've been together for 37 years, going together back then. I just want you to know that God has been so good that he works in this ministry for me, I mean with me, sometimes for me, or sometimes me for him. But he's the most amazing man of God that I know. He was really my first introduction to Jesus. If God hadn't brought him in my life when I was a teenager, then I would have ended my life a long time ago. But when he came in, he began to show me so much love, even knowing all the different things and challenges that I had. And I said to myself, this has to be very similar to the love of Jesus. So I didn't want to pass the opportunity up for you to meet Mr. Parnell Minter.
Well, this has been powerful, Tim. Hasn't it been a powerful evening? I mean, it's been educational. It's been insightful. I mean, it has just been a powerful time of just fellowshipping with those of like precious faith. And Sister Angela, you just hit it out of the park, hit a home run. I tell you, God used you greatly here tonight. Praise the Lord. And I know that together we can make a difference. As individuals, it's hard to get much accomplished. But when we walk together, united together in the faith, committed to carry out this purpose, we can see much accomplished for the glory of God. So I want to commend you for that tonight. I want to pray today, and I want to encourage you, as it was said and mentioned earlier, but I want to encourage you to really pray for Dr. Simon, Sister Angela. You know, we know, we've heard the slogan that their names are known in heaven, but I want to tell you their names are known in hell. You know, they're on the hit list, and I want to encourage you to cover them in prayer, but you know, that doesn't mean anything other, because if God be for you, don't matter who's against you. Amen. Hallelujah. We've been made more than conquerors, we're overcomers. And we can't be defeated in Jesus' name. Praise God.
Amen.
Amen. And so I want to pray for each and every one of you here tonight. And I want to pray for this ministry, this outreach, that it will continue to grow and expand and be used for the glory of God to advance the kingdom of God. Amen. Father, we just thank you for this glorious event that has happened tonight. We first of all want to thank you for your presence that's here, because it's in you we live and we move and we have our being. And it's in you that we are complete. Lord, we're not sufficient in ourselves. We are only sufficient in you. And Lord, tonight I ask that you would increase and that we would decrease, and the life we live would no longer be us, but you, Lord, that lives in us today. Lord, your word declares the wicked flee when no man pursue, but the righteous are as bold as a lion. And Lord, I pray a boldness anointing, a zealous, fervent anointing upon every person here today, that we would fight the good fight of faith, that we would stand for what you stand for. We would oppose what you oppose. Lord, may we not be timid or intimidated. But Lord, may we be bold, Lord God, to stand up for the truth. Because the truth is what sets people free. Now, Lord, I pray today, Lord God, for those that serve in political capacity. I pray, Lord God, to give them a heart for you. I pray, Lord,